Tonight, Proverbs in chapter 15, we'll read two verses there. That'll be the 13th verse and the 15th verse. So we'll read two verses out of Proverbs 15, verses 13 and then verse 15. And then we'll go to chapter 17 and verse 22. So just a page over, most likely. So let's begin all by reading Proverbs chapter 15 and verse number 13. A merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance, but by sorrow of the heart the spirit is broken. Now skip with me down to 15. Let's read that. Verse 15. All the days of the afflicted are evil, but he that is of a merry heart hath a continual feast. And finally, over to chapter 17. Let's all read together on that 22nd verse, Proverbs 17 and verse 22. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones.
And Brother Penn, I think it's on my heart because it is on my heart. And I believe I speak for all of us. Tonight I want to bring a message that is simply entitled, Like a Medicine. Like a Medicine. All too often, even Christian people blame a bad spirit on all the wrong circumstances. Have you noticed that? Not a sad spirit, not a burden spirit, not a heavy spirit, but a truly bad spirit, you see. They'll say, oh, I'm just grouchy. Well, I think that there are a lot of grouchy Christians. But they say that, and there's nothing like a person saying that to you and ruining your spirit. Well, I'm just grouchy. Got up too early, went to bed too late, whatever it might be, being tired, being uncomfortable, being hungry, getting up too early, going to bed too late, treatment from others, or lack of treatment from others, physical, spiritual, emotional downtimes, bitterness, anger, wrath. And we end up with a bad spirit. And it should not be that way for the child of God. The older we get, the more potential we have of becoming bitter and grouchy old people. You know, I decided a long time ago that if the Lord allows me to get older, which He is apparently allowing me to do, I don't want to be a grouchy old man. I can be. And by the way, so can you. And if you're a lady, you can be a grouchy old lady. But what I'm saying is I don't want to be a grouchy old man. I really don't. And I believe, as the Bible says, that a merry heart doth good like a medicine. It really honestly does. It does something inside of us that makes us feel better, and it makes everybody around us feel better as well. Personally, I do not want that to happen to me, that I become a grouchy old man. To be honest with you, it's a real possibility with me and with you. All of us have that potential in us. I don't have any desire to become a grumpy old man. I don't have any desire to be grumpy when I get up in the morning. I don't have any desire to be grumpy before I go to bed at night. I don't have any desire to be grumpy in the middle of the afternoon when a lot of people take naps, or as we learned this morning in our Sunday school lesson, a siesta, you see. But I don't want to be grouchy on any of those times, just a grumpy old man. I don't want to become a grumpy old anything. I really don't. Do you? I mean, I really honestly don't. Well, you just don't understand. I have every reason to be grumpy and grouchy and all the rest. You may have all of that, but I do want to remind all of us that we have something better. We have Jesus in our lives. We have the Holy Spirit in our lives. The Bible says this. Listen, notice with me again our opening text. I'm going to read these to you, all three of them. You can mark them. I'm not going to necessarily wait for you to get there, even though you don't have to go very far to get there. The Bible says in Proverbs 15, 13 and verse 15 and 17, 22, a merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance, but by sorrow of the heart the spirit is broken. Then it says, all the days of the afflicted are evil, but he that is of a merry heart hath a continual feast. And then 17, 22, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine, thus the sermon title, but a broken spirit drieth the bones. Drying the bones, it's talking about it takes away your strength. It takes away often your will even to live, but certainly to do anything. And you know, some people might call it depression. Some people might call it clinical depression. They might have a lot of different names for it, but it has an effect on all of us. And our spirit has an effect on everyone around us, you see. And we have to be very, very careful. So the Bible says that a merry heart is a joyful heart. Did you see that? It just goes together. A merry heart is a joyful heart, and some are bent toward the negative. These are hard people to talk to, even though they need to be talked to. You need to bend the other way if you're ever going to have a happy face. Why? Because what happens is your bad spirit, your negative spirit, your unhappy spirit or heart, whatever you want to say, is going to affect every single person around you, whether you like it or not. But it's interesting here. The Bible says you need to bend the other way if you are ever going to have a happy face or an endless buffet. Did you see that in the verse? It talks about a continual feast, an endless buffet. How many of you actually enjoy going to a buffet? Anybody enjoy going to? Yeah, you have a choice of anything that you want, and sadly, as much of it as you want. And I heard a comedian one day, because he weighed over 400 pounds, went into a Chinese restaurant, and they told him he couldn't come anymore because he stayed through lunch and dinner and all the rest. It says endless. It says it's all you can eat, and I've not had all I can eat yet. But he said, no, you don't come back here no more. And they did not want him in the restaurant. I believe what he said was true. It's a healing of the soul, according to the verses that we read. And I have met some who, if they were to crack a smile, they would crack their face at the same time. You say, Pastor, is that really true? Well, of course it is. You know folks like that. And the truth is, all of us have been there at one time or another, where if we were to crack a smile, our face would crack, maybe right off of our skull. I don't know. I enjoy a good time. And, you know, in church sometimes, we think we can't smile or laugh. The truth of the matter is we ought to be able to have a wonderful time when the family gets together, when the Lord's family gets together, the brothers and the sisters, so to speak, and we come in here. It's just not all doom and gloom. It ought to be some joyful hearts and some merry hearts. And you never know, you might just encourage somebody by the good spirit that you have. Life is certainly not all laughs, but I want to say this, neither is it all serious, okay? I am certainly not speaking of the devil may care, so what, don't worry, be happy kind of an attitude. Not talking about that. I'm talking about that joyful heart, that frame of mind. I'm talking about speaking about the joy of the Lord is our strength. I mean, really, I made a terrible mistake here in church one night. I know that's hard for you to believe. But I actually made it. There's a song that says, the joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Oh, the joy of the Lord is my strength. I didn't start with that. I started with ha ha. Ha 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 ha. Shouldn't have done that, but everybody was smiling after I got done with it. And folks are thinking, I think our pastor has lost a nut or a bolt or something. Something is loose now. I don't know. But listen, the Lord is my strength. And that's the kind of Christian who displays the joy of the Lord, that the joy of the Lord produces in his life. And you see, the truth of the matter is, with that in mind, what I want to do, I want to give you some points tonight about this thing of laughter and a merry heart and a good spirit. That'll help all of us. If you're taking notes, I've only got three points, if you want to call them that. By the way, as you know, this last week I preached two funerals. And the last funeral, they were both blessed. The Lord blessed the presence there and all in the preaching of the Word of God. And I sang a song at the very beginning of both of those services. I really did. I sang, heaven is a wonderful place, filled with glory and grace. I'm going to see my Savior's face. Heaven is a wonderful, heaven is a glorious, heaven is a wonderful place, which didn't really move anybody. You can understand why. But then I quoted two more songs, and I said, I want to quote for you a song by Jim Hill. And I said, I'm going to spare you my singing of it. And people laughed. I thought, were they laughing because they listened the first time I sang and were thankful I wasn't going to sing the second time? Is that what they were doing? I don't know. I just enjoyed their laughter. And then when I came to the next song, I said, and I will spare you my singing of that one as well. And more people laughed, which made me feel bad about singing the first song, only for about 2 seconds. But you know, the truth of the matter is there were two funerals. There was laughter, there were tears, there was happy times, there were sad things, there were testimonies. It was an amazing thing to watch what the Lord did. But you know, I hope when my funeral comes around that folks are in a happy spirit, not because I'm gone, but because of the joy of the Lord. But number one, if you're taking notes, learn to laugh at yourself. Say, what do you mean? I mean, learn to laugh at yourself. James chapter 3 and verse 1, my brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. Don't be a person of many words, but learn to laugh at the words that you mess up with. My pastor, Brother Hiles, God bless him, he would have been 99 years old this last week. And he said these words, which have literally changed my life. He said, and I quote, if you lay an egg, stand back and admire it. Well, I've laid enough eggs in the pulpit, in the ministry, I've laid eggs big enough to hatch twin dinosaurs. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And all the only you can't recover. There's no way to recover. All you can do is live with it. So if you don't, other people are going to laugh at you. So you learn to laugh at yourself. Seriously. Did that go together? Laugh at yourself? Seriously? I really mean it. And none of us wants to be part of that norm to where other people laugh at us, but we don't laugh at ourselves. Sometimes we do thoughtless things that end up in a humorous moment. And look at what you've done and laugh at yourself and all the rest of it. It's okay to do. Because you can't recover gracefully sometimes from a bad mistake. You just go on anyhow. And that's why the Bible says, be not many masters. Don't be one who just talks all the time, because many words means the possibility of many mistakes. And therefore, because of that, we are going to make mistakes. And if you lay an egg, just stand back and admire it. And after all, what are your choices at that point? What are your choices at that point? When I did these funerals, I always have the same advice. And when I do a wedding, I have the same advice. And I look at the people and I say, there are no mistakes, even if there are. And they look at me and I say, seriously, if there's mistakes, nobody else is going to know it. Just go on anyhow. And then I always tell them the same thing. If you lay an egg, then just stand back and admire it. It's okay. And go on anyhow. When I think about this, I think about some things that have happened at my home church. When I was growing up at my home church, there was a teenage girl. She's in heaven now, I believe. Seems like I read that a little while back, where her last name was Edwards, and she was the sister of a boy that was the same age as me in my youth group. And she had gotten saved and was going to get baptized. And in my church, back behind the pulpit like it is here, there were curtains drawn, and there was a big tank of water. It was very, very good. And she was in the ladies' dressing room, and while she had all of her baptism stuff on, she leaned against the curtain, thought it was a wall, dove headfirst right into the baptistry, right there on the spot. We never saw her come out. She did. But we never saw it, because she slithered up the stairs of the baptistry to get out. And when she came back in the baptistry, her hair was wet and combed and straight. But I'll never forget that. She was embarrassed to death, but we all had a tremendous time laughing with her. At that time, I think it was at her, as teenagers do. Our church had just gotten a new organ. And I'm here to tell you, the organist had gotten up there, and I was sitting next to my friend Ron Moody. He may be even listening tonight, I'm not sure. But Ron, we're two people that should never sit together in a service, especially if something goes wrong or something is funny. And so Mrs. Hickerson went to the organ and sat down and did what organists do at organs. She got everything ready to go, and she was going to debut that brand new organ for all of us. Our auditorium sat about 400 or 500 people at that time, and there was a good crowd at church that night. We did not know what she was going to play, but the first thing she did on the brand new organ was a drum roll with a snare drum on the organ. Ron thought it was a joke and laughed out loud. He was the only one laughing in the entire auditorium. The only thing you can do after that is, after you've laid that egg, is stand back and admire the thing. And then there was a gal in our youth group. Her name was Susie Correll. She's in heaven now. And she and her sisters came to our Sunday school and all. And Susie was in my youth group. She was 1 year behind me, if I remember. And her mother drove, I don't know what year it was, but it was a Barracuda, the kind that had a big old fastback on it. And it was a light blue Barracuda. And her mother had decided to pick up a bunch of us teenagers and take us to a youth activity, and which was great. You know, she was giving her car to be a blessing to the teens. Well, we found out that when she laughed at something funny, she would snort. None of you snort when you laugh, do you? Yes, all of us have. You know how we do. We do that so we get to laugh and ha, 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 and that's what she did. Guess what I did? I snorted back at her. No one laughed. And I had laid an egg at that time big enough to hatch twin dinosaurs. She looked at me with a glare. I'm here to tell you, she's in heaven now, and I'm sure she's forgiven me. And so is Susie Carell. She's in heaven as well. But I just will never forget that. Just got to learn to laugh at yourself, because you're going to make mistakes. That'll help you to have, rather than an embarrassed spirit over every little thing that you may do, you will have a kind of a spirit that helps other people to be happy as well. And I remember one night here at this piano, my son, during a piano recital, will never forget it as long as I live. He had a whole bunch of music that he had laid out on the piano for the piano recital. And wouldn't you know it, just before he was to play, wasn't it the wind that blew and blew all the music completely off the piano? What do? He gathered up all the music. It took forever, but he got everything let out and he finally played the piano. The only thing you can do is absolutely just learn to laugh at yourself, because you're going to make mistakes. And it's okay. As long as nobody gets hurt, it's okay just to laugh at yourself. But secondly, I want to give you this point, and that is learn to laugh with others. Romans chapter 12 and verse 15, I believe I can give it this context and not be doing any injustice to the scriptures, but it says, rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. And it's talking about being able to rejoice over others' blessings. But you know what? When somebody's happy, learning to laugh with others when they think that when they're going through a time of great happiness, it's easy to laugh at someone. It's a bit more difficult to laugh with them sometimes. And you know, if something is funny and people are laughing, join in. Anybody can be a stick in the mud. But if people think, somebody, I'm not going to laugh at that. I'm just going to cross my arms and I'm just going to dare you to make me laugh. But that may be their personality, but learning to laugh with others is a good thing. You see, have you ever read bulletin bloopers before? Okay, I know I have. I've printed them a couple of times, and I've got some that I want to read for you tonight. I just want to say, over the years, had I not proofread the bulletin, you all would still be laughing at me and may have fired me as your pastor. Just want you to know that. Proofreading is a very important thing when it comes to church publications. So here's some things that I've come across. Number one, or first of all, the cost of the fasting and prayer conference includes all meals. Really? Okay. The sermon this morning, Jesus walks on the water. The sermon tonight, searching for Jesus. At the evening service tonight, the sermon topic will be, what is hell like? Come early and listen to our choir practice. These came out of bulletins. I'm not making these up. The low esteem self-support group will meet Thursday, 7 p.m. Please use the back doors. Remember the youth department sale to raise funds for summer camp. We have a men's 3-speed bicycle, also 2 ladies for sale, all in good running order. Have you ever wondered how important punctuation is? It really is. The over 60 choir will be disbanded for the summer with the thanks of the entire church. Mrs. Garcia remains in the hospital and needs blood donors for another transfusion. She is also having trouble sleeping and requests tapes of pastor's sermons. I can relate to that. Sign-up sheet for everyone wishing to be water baptized on the table in the foyer. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget all his benefits. Make sure all them words are in there. The choir invites any member of the congregation who enjoys sinning to join the choir. Weight Watchers will meet at 7 p.m. Please use the large double doors at the side entrance. Due to the pastor's illness, Wednesday's healing services will be discontinued until further notice. Ushers will eat latecomers. I think that was supposed to be greet. Or seat, I should say. We seat latecomers. For those of you who have children and don't know it, we have a nursery downstairs. During the absence of our pastor, we enjoyed a rare privilege of hearing a good sermon when J.F. Stubbs supplied our pulpit. It's okay to laugh. Proofreading is important. I don't always get it right, but I'm here to tell you what, I have seen some things over the last 35 years that I'm glad proofreading was there because it needed to be. Sometimes out of innocence, things are said and written, not understood, and sometimes it's like, where have I heard that before? Oh, we'll take that out of the bulletin. Honest, it's okay to laugh when others laugh, and don't allow your own pride to keep you from enjoying a good laugh with your friends. It's okay. It's perfectly all right. And then thirdly and lastly, but don't take a nitroglycerin tablet yet. I know I said lastly, which means I'm getting near the end of the message. But thirdly, learn to laugh to God, not at God. Learn to laugh to Him. God has a sense of humor. He made us. I think that's good enough. But we are created in the image of God, and He gave us the ability and the gift of laughter. The word laugh is mentioned over 40 times in some form or another throughout the Bible. And even states in a couple of places where God laughs. Now, the context of God laughing is a very serious matter. It really honestly is. But the fact that God has given us the ability to laugh and we are created in His image means that we can laugh. I don't know what your walk with the Lord is like. You don't share it with me, and I don't need to share it with you, and you don't have any business sharing it with me. But let me ask you a question. As you walk with Him, you learn to laugh as you talk to the Lord. Something is funny to you, do you ever tell it funny to the Lord? You ever laugh and say, what's going on? And wonder what the Lord's thinking? I'm talking about conversational prayer. I'm not talking about deep intercessory prayer. I'm just talking about, I was asked one time how much I talk with the Lord. I have no way of even measuring how much time I spend talking to the Lord. But it's not always on my knees, and it's not always with my hands folded, and it's not always thanking God for the food, but sometimes it's just continually walking and walking and talking with the Lord. I'm always reminded of Billy and Ma Sunday, and the story, I've told it to you 100 dozen times, but as they were walking down the sidewalk, Ma Sunday looked over at Billy and said, what'd you say, Billy? And he looked back at her and said, I wasn't talking to you, Ma. See, he was talking to the Lord. But you know, in your walk with the Lord, it's okay to let the Lord know when something is funny to you or when something is frustrating to you or whatever it might be. And that's just called a walk with God, not just merely a visit with God when you spend time with Him in the morning or in the evening. I'm talking about an all-day walk with the Lord, and that is so very, very important. And as you walk with Him, learn to laugh and to talk to God about all of it when it happens, and speak to Him as a friend would speak to a friend. And isn't that what the Bible says? Wasn't it Abraham? He spoke to God as friend to friend. And of course he did. And with my friends, I share sometimes funny things. You say, well, the Lord already knows those things. Yes, but He also knows the desire of our heart, but He asks us to pray. He already knows our needs, but He asks us to bring them to Him. So there's nothing wrong with any of that. And it will improve. It will honestly improve your walk with the Lord if you just learn to talk to Him throughout the day, you see. I mentioned one time to a guy who was looking at the schedule that he had to keep, because, and he had a very busy schedule, by the way. He was a member of our church. And his schedule was so full from one to the other. And I said, well, listen, I said, while you're driving, you've got at least a 30-minute drive from where you live. I said, why don't you use that time to pray? And I don't mean close your eyes and fold your hands or get on your knees in your car. And he said, oh, I don't want to do that. He thought that was just disrespectful to the Lord. Not at all. You've got 30 minutes to drive an automobile or be driven someplace. You can use some of that time to talk to the Lord. Not to be rude to those who are in the car with you, but you can use that time to talk to the Lord. You can use that time to sing to the Lord, you see. Your steering wheel probably ought to know every concert that you know and sing all those songs as you're going along. But you see, it's okay to have that conversational, that kind of friend-to-friend relationship with the Lord. And if something is funny to you, point it out to the Lord. Did you see that? Well, of course he did. And then laugh at yourself for saying something so silly, like, did you see that? Well, of course he did. And what I'm saying is, as many of us as believers, we are more serious than we need to be about everything in life. But not everything is serious. Sometimes, just as the Bible said three times in the book of Proverbs, it said that laughter was something, or a merry heart was something that was good for us. And it doeth good, and it's a continual feast, it's a continual buffet, it's everything you could possibly want, and have that merry heart. And you can have, by the way, a merry heart when you have a heavy heart. You see, because why? Because it's the joy of the Lord that's your strength, you see. None of us have to walk around with our feelings on our sleeve. Well, I'm just grouchy. Well, I'm just tired. We all are. Everybody in this room's tired tonight. Well, I'm this, or I'm that, or you don't know my plight. Don't wear your feelings on your sleeves, you see. I was thinking, when JoJo was alive, she used to put bloopers. Brother Penn's got a blooper CD reel that he made, and Joanna would put some of my bloopers up on the bulletin board that used to be downstairs. One of my favorite ones was leadership is finding things and breaking them. What I meant to say was leadership is finding broken things and fixing them, but I said it wrong, totally. One night we sat here, it was a birthday party that the church had for me, and we played that CD with all my bloopers on it, and there were a lot of bloopers, a lot of dinosaur eggs on that CD. And you know what? They laughed, and I laughed at myself, and they laughed with me. And that's okay. And I stood back and admired it, is what I did. And I just want to warn you that there'll be plenty more mistakes that I will make from the pulpit, plenty more eggs that I will lay, plenty more dinosaurs that will be hatched, and it's all going to happen. And sometimes I'm not going to realize that I did it, and you are. What was it I said? Oh, I know what it was, a number of years ago. I said, being saved is a no-so salvation. You have a no-so, it's not a hope-so salvation. And I said, being saved is like being pregnant. Either you are or you're not. There's no in-between. I said, then you need to get that way. Wrong timing. Because we had three singles sitting back here looking like, what? Us? No, we shouldn't do that. And I didn't realize what I had said. But I'm sure there will be plenty more of those as the years go on. Give me enough time and I will make more bloopers as it goes. And I don't even know if Brother Penn is still collecting them. It probably would take up too many CDs, too many recordings. Yeah, he's back there shaking his head up and down. You got that right, preacher. So many. There will be so many. But I have used the wrong word. I have pronounced the wrong word. I have said the wrong thing. I have said things innocently that I did not realize would make my church family laugh. But you learn to laugh at yourself. You learn to laugh with others. And when you're talking to the Lord, it's okay to talk to Him about those things as well. So we got to remember this about a merry heart. Number one, I said a merry heart makes a cheerful countenance. A merry heart makes a happy face. Number two, I said merry heart enjoys a continual feast. A merry heart enjoys that endless buffet. And thirdly, a merry heart does good like medicine, the Bible says. A merry heart cures a multitude of ills like a bad spirit. It honestly does. I almost brought this message this morning, and I struggled back and forth of whether or not I would bring it this morning or tonight. I finally decided, I believe rightly, by bringing the message that I brought this morning, and tonight's message for tonight. But what did the old song say? Put on a happy face. Don't wear your feelings on your sleeve, you see. Learn to let those feelings be carried in your pockets rather than on your sleeve. And you make others happy around you.